and welcome to the SEO Podcast, Unknown Secrets of Internet Marketing. My name is Chris Burris, owner of eWeb Results.
I am Charles Lewis, your client results advocate.
Welcome back to another fun-filled edition of our podcast. This is podcast number 336. It's going to be a wonderful podcast. As always, we have a tip from our previous podcast, and that tip is repurpose pages that rank but do not produce.
If this page is ranking but is not getting any production, then go and change your meta, change your call to action, change your content. See if you can get some production out that page.
Boom. Please remember, we are filmed live here in Houston, Texas, and we are your local, friendly, local, neighborhood, top position snatchers.
Yes.
And our mantra is,
do not be a douche.
You know, I think we missed our mantra last time. Yeah. I was like halfway through, I was like, we missed our mantra. That's
yeah.
Sucks.
Do not be a douche. Missing the mantra is kind of douchey.
Yeah. That's there's something funny to say, and I will not be saying it now. We do have a great article that we will be discussing today.
Yeah, this article was posted by Aaron Aguas and the good folks over at Search Engine Journal. The 10 skills effective content marketers must master for epic results.
So
10 skills effective content marketers must master for epic results.
So as I'm looking at that printout, I do notice a remarketing ad from one of our clients. Mm-hmm. They are everywhere. Hey, if you are in front of some sort of electronic device and you can tweet, go ahead and tweet now.
Us. You should tweet us, man, at eWeb Results, at Best SEO Podcast. Use the hashtag SEO Podcast. This is number 336. That way we can follow you back and do all of our social networking.
Yep. If this is the first time you've listened to this podcast, howdy. Welcome to our podcast.
Glad to have you.
Yeah. If you've listened to our podcast before, then you know what we're about to skip. Mm-hmm. We're about to skip Shycos. What are Shycos?
Shycos are shares, likes, and follows.
Any one of those. Here's the rules. If we get at least 10 Shycos on any one of our social media profiles, then I'm trying to get the right words because they're usually wrong. and we get a review, then we don't tell you how to write a review. But we will tell you how to Shyco us. So in this case, we did get more than 10 Shycos, and we got a review. So here's how you can leave us a Shyco to avoid us teaching you how to write a review. You could Shyco us at facebook.com/eWebResults, youtube.com/eWebResults, twitter.com/eWebResults, instagram.com/eWebResults, linkedin.com/company/eWebResults. All of those will take you to our social media profile pages where you can
Shyco us.
If you're a PHP genius or a WordPress guru, we're probably looking for you. Yeah, go ahead and call us, 713-510-7846. If you're interested in a free website analysis, you can get a free website analysis from us. It's comprehensive.
Comprehensive analysis.
It's important to say comprehensive.
It's very important.
17-page comprehensive website analysis. All you need to do is go to eWebResults.com, click the green button, and you will get one of those after a phone call. And it's time for the favorite segment of the program, the Algorithm Cataclysm. Oh, yeah.
That was a good one.
You almost fell over. Sorry.
A little bit. That was like, so this one is interesting. So last year, I think it was late last year.
Right.
Matter of fact, it probably was about 2 years ago now where Google rolled out the mobile friendly label. So any search you did on a mobile device, if that website was responsive or had a mobile version, then the search engine result had a label next to it that said mobile friendly.
Yep.
We'll say goodbye to the mobile friendly label in Google search. Google's ubiquitous mobile friendly label, which appears next to properly optimized web pages in mobile search results, is going away. The company announced this change is being made in an effort to unclutter the search results.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm going to tell you what I really think it is.
Yeah.
I think that removing that is going to somehow drive more clicks to paid ads. I don't know how, but...
Oh, yeah, statistically, probably driving...
Well, statistically, everything Google does drives more traffic to paid ads, and so... I would think this would be the same thing.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. That's a goodbye. Bye-bye.
Deuces.
No longer around. All right, so
but
I do...
You know what I what that really means, though, is that the Mobilegeddon impact wasn't as big as it was kind of made out to be.
I'm not convinced of that, and I'll tell you why. Because One of our clients, financial guys in California, had like a 50% increase in form submissions and phone calls when we launched our website.
When we switched it, it made it mobile friendly.
And they were like, is this really possible? And Chuck is like, yeah, not only is it possible, it's actually happening. Let me hang up so you can answer that phone.
Yeah, so in those kind of situations, yeah, I think mobile getting had an effect. But like the people who were dropping off, they didn't see a reduction in traffic. Because of mobile getting, they only saw an increase because we made it mobile friendly.
Right. So
you know what I'm saying?
They were kind of pre-subject to mobile getting, right? So because they weren't mobile friendly when mobile getting happened, they may have fallen off. They probably didn't because we weren't working with them then, but they probably would have fallen off. And had they been mobile friendly, we wouldn't have had as much impact.
Yeah,
and that's kind of the mobile getting issue. Interesting. Yeah. All right. So I got a little bit of news. In Singapore, you can now get a self-driving taxi.
Yeah.
It does come with a conversation companion, also known as the engineer who is in charge if the thing goes awry.
Oh, so you can get that in Pittsburgh.
Oh, can you?
Self-driving Uber.
Wow.
And it comes with the Uber guy sitting on the inside. I wonder if he gets paid like half off because he don't have to drive or use his car. Like, I don't know how that works.
Do you smack him if he gets on the cell phone or like don't turn around, don't talk to me? That's weird.
Yeah, I don't. So they got pictures of him. I've seen three different pictures in Pittsburgh.
I'd probably be asleep in like if I wasn't necessary for driving, I would be asleep.
If you're the Uber driver?
Yeah, so like, yeah. Wow, this is working pretty... Like, I'd be like five blocks. Man, I made it five blocks pretty good. I think I'm good. I'd be out.
You're getting in. Are we at your stop?
Yeah. You get out. Oh, no, it's not me. speaking of Uber loses $1.27 billion in the first half of 2016.
Who knew that was going to happen? Well, I ain't gonna say I knew that was going to happen, but... Then when they hike them rates up.
And they're investing in everything. The thing is with the number of rides they give, they could probably just bump it up a quarter and make that $1 billion.
Well, I think they're getting a lot of complaints from drivers. Like, I know a couple of people who drive for Uber. And then what I'm seeing online is this is the reason why they're constantly recruiting and trying to get more, because they got an extremely high turnover.
Yeah.
And so I'm pretty sure that's going into... You know, the money they spend.
The calculation. Mm-hmm. Do you have any news?
I do have news. So, got some news from Google. Two pieces of Google news. One, you a gamer? Tic-tac-toe, solitaire, stuff like
not
that?
Not really.
So, you can play solitaire and tic-tac-toe directly in the Google search results. Google rolled it out a new feature. So, if you search for solitaire or tic-tac-toe, you're going to get a playable version
at the top.
The search results.
That's just
huge time waste to Google.
Yeah.
Just don't. Give me something I like to play.
Yeah.
Like dominoes.
Miss Pac-Man.
Or pool. Or the games I play on my device. Yeah, don't give me those.
Don't put them prominent.
Kill my productivity. And see, more Google news. Google warns this is going to crack down. This could have been Algo Cat, but we're going to wait till they fully release it.
Right.
But they warn they're going to crack down on intrusive interstitials.
Interstitials.
Even though I know that's wrong. In January, they're going to roll this out, though, because they're reinforcing this emphasis on mobile search experience with a new penalty, right? So this is going to be algorithm for real because it's going to come with a penalty.
Yep.
With the new penalty, what they say, lost my bag, affecting intrusive interstitials. On mobile web pages. What's an interstitial, Chuck? That's like anything that's preventing your original content from being seen once the page loads. Like a pop-up or splash page or all these number of things you may put in place. If that's happening on a mobile device and these people can't scroll, can't swipe, can't close it, getting kind of stuck, ruining their experience, prepare to be stitchulized.
Yes, stitchulized. Ooh, that's better than bubble pop.
Yeah. more news. Last piece of news. So I can actually dig this as much as I hate Yelp.
Yeah.
I will support them in this action right here. So major internet companies are supporting Yelp in the case that threatens online reviews. So there was a guy, Hassel, who was a lawyer.
Right.
Right. And so he provided some service. One of his clients, who he didn't do such a good job for,
apparently.
A guy named Bird.
Allegedly.
Went back, gave him a 1-star review. So the lawyer sues the guy.
Right.
And in his lawsuit has to remove the review. Right. God doesn't show up to court. Lawyer wins a default judgment. And so now the judgment is trying to force Yelp to remove that review.
Right.
And Yelp is like, we weren't included in the lawsuit. We weren't included in the case. We ain't got to do nothing.
Right.
And so now they trying to force that Yelp to remove the review.
Right.
And so in this case, Yelp got Twitter, Google, YouTube,
and
a whole bunch of other people writing letters supporting Yelp in this decision. And it's Yelp, as much as I hate y'all, you get my support in this decision because I'm full believe in free speech.
Yep.
And Yelp provides that opportunity to go in and post whatever you want to post about whatever company.
Yep.
And you can't just take that right away.
So, we definitely have this understanding or feeling that Yelp is doing some bad things.
Mm-hmm.
But we know of a very specific case where one 5-star review is showing mm-hmm. and one 2-star review is not showing because it's not a recommended viewer. And so you normally don't see that. There's a lot of hate mail towards Yelp that never happens. We know of one case that is absolutely true. So,
there are plenty of other cases where Yelp is really working. Like, they do some really, really good things. They just do some really, really good things.
And I remember I had something in the news where Yelp was the only one that provided they went in and were trying to create bogus reviews, mm-hmm. right, on G+, on Yelp, and all these. And the only one that got it right was Yelp. Yeah.
So that's my news, man.
Cool. I've got a review.
Mm-hmm.
This is from Stephen Hamilton. It is the title has no title. Punch in the face to you, Stephen Hamilton.
It is,
of course,
5 stars.
It says, punch in the face to both of you guys for a great podcast. Your steady brainwashing about leaving a review finally hit me after listening to you for a couple of months.
It's working.
I have mad respect for someone who has been doing SEO and click-through rates before Google. Keep up the great work. Punch in the face to you, Mr. Stephen Hamilton. We're happy to be here providing value to you and entertainment to us.
Or something like that.
That is the potatoes of the podcast. Time to get into the meat.
So like we said, punch in the face, man, and Aaron Aguis and the good folks over at Search Engine Journal posted this article, The 10 Skills Effective Content Marketers Must Master for Epic Results. Must master.
Not optional.
Yeah, you have to master this if you're going to be a content marketer.
Okay.
And that's definitely part of the service we offer.
Absolutely.
So I figured we'd dive right in. His first one, he says, as a content marketer, you must master the skill of in-depth research. Right? You must master the skill of in-depth research. He says, unless you're
how much research do you do per client every month? Just research. Like, not work, not...
Research. So I'll give you two answers.
Okay.
Right? You're going to like one, you're going to hate the other. Right? So we bill
right
for about 3 hours worth of research.
Right.
I actually do about 6.
And so you are right. I do not like that.
So, but, you know, it just takes that sometimes. If you want to be in-depth.
So it's not 6 for all
no,
every
clients,
month.
No, it's just them. Certain clients. You know, we get a newer client, newer industry. Then, yeah, it takes some upfront.
Yep.
You know, 6-7 hours worth of research. But once we get into month 3, month 4, I get a better understanding, then, you know, research go down. So
it happens a lot faster. So.
Yeah, exactly. She says, Arius, that ain't it. What's his name? He says, unless you're the most knowledgeable subject matter expert, everything you create will need to have some sort of research behind it. And he's absolutely right. Like, if you don't do the research, then you can't justify what your content is about. Your numbers may be fictitious. Your content may be wrong. The stats and data you're giving will be incorrect because you haven't done no research. Take the time and do the research. He even listed out a couple points about what effective content marketers go deeper by. One of them is knowing the terminology that your audience is using when searching. Right. This is part of the research. And so if you're trying to go after a specific term, right, and maybe you have an idea of what that term should be, but maybe your clients are searching a different term,
right,
then that in-depth research helps you find out that different term. Another one he talked about was uncovering search queries that they use to find answers to solutions. Right. So maybe you want to get in Google and look at like
and Google.
Look at Search Assist and these things like that. Recommended searches. So you can see what other keywords are related to what you're going after. And then find that out. Find out what lingo your clients are using.
Yeah.
Right. Find out how they talk, what they speak, how they refer to your product, how they refer to your brand. Right. And all of that is content that you should keep on your site. Number two, leverage trends, right? Trends that are going on. He goes on to say a smart marketer constantly keeps their eyes open for trending topics to stay ahead of the curve. He's right. Look, understanding what trending topics are relevant to your business is key. So as you begin to start working on this content, man, check Twitter, check Facebook, see what's trending, right? And if anything's trending that's related to your business, you should probably already be aware of it, but now is the good time to be aware of it. Take advantage, especially if you got a story or something you can tell that's directly related to what's trending. Man, spin that out into 1,000 words and create you a post, create you a video, create some content and support that. You have to leverage trends. Now, dig this about trends.
Right.
It's kind of two types of trends, right? And so when you're working on content marketing, you got industry trends, right? So let's say you're an AC company and the trend is ductless AC units.
Right.
Then you need to be writing about ductless AC units if you provide them. Because there's trending, right? The other kind of trend is the user trend, right? Users, the trend now is video,
right?
Live video, live streaming, and all type of stuff. So understanding both trends, in this case, ductless, and then the user trend video, is in your best interest to create a video about ductless AC. Absolutely. And that way, your content goes further, has more reach, is likely to be trending also. Leverage trends.
So our social media marketer does an amazing job of keeping.
Oh yeah, our content guy. Shout out, punch in the face to Daniel.
Boom.
So what he'll do is with all of our content, every client we have, he's checking trends, seeing what's popping, what's going on in this industry, and not only that, we send that news to the client. Hey, what do you know about this? What do you know about that? Any feedback you can give us so we can create the right content.
This is a good trend. This is a bad trend. One of the great stories that I like is he actually, for one of our clients who sells donuts, had noticed that somebody in California made a blunt-looking donut, and then Snoop Dogg retweeted the blunt-looking donut, and so he put that on Facebook, and then we got a note from corporate that it was not in alignment with the family-friendly nature of the donut store, so we took it down.
Yeah.
I think it was a bad decision to take it down.
I think it was a horrible decision to take it down because...
It's just news that's trending in donuts.
Anyway. Well, it's not just that. It's like great social commentary. It was viral.
Yeah.
You want to be a part of that.
Yeah.
Number three.
Three.
Effectively promote and distribute. Right? We're talking about content that you've created. You got to effectively. She didn't just say promote it and distribute. That effectively promote and distribute. She goes on to say the average marketer does some social promotion when new content is published and leaves the rest to organic traffic from search. But if you want more reach from your content, you have to utilize every available channel for promoting new content. I keep telling y'all, man, content marketing is not a set it and forget it kind of situation. You have to add content in multiple places and frequently. I wrote, man, tweet it, Facebook it, and then boost it after you Facebook it.
Do a Facebook Live about you just released it.
Exactly. Like, email it. Put it in your newsletter. Turn it into slides. Put it on SlideShare. Make a video summary was the last thing I wrote. And then post that on Facebook and IG.
Yeah.
The key is distribute it. Promote it, share it, dig it, read it. Like, you have to get it out there consistently.
Yeah.
You have to do that. Other than that, it's just going to sit on your page and be a great piece of content that no one links to or reads. And that's not cool.
No.
Number four.
Four.
Know how to read the data. Right? After you're doing all this content marketing, you need to understand what the data says.
Yep.
They say, since every piece of content is created for a purpose, the most successful content marketers know how to analyze the data and ensure that the goals are being met and content is performing well. This is my lane right here. We want to analyze the data. We want to check the goals. And if you're writing content and publishing articles, you need to know your analytics, like the time on page. How much time are people spending reading this blog post? The referral source to that page. Like, how did they get here? Right? Was it from your email? Was it from Facebook? Did they find it in a Google search? You need to know that. What was the next page they visited after that? Right? Did they visit something in the main nav, or was it a recent post? Did they bounce after that? The type of device they viewed your post on. The information you need to know. If they found it on Facebook and viewed it on a mobile device, then your mobile Facebook traffic is pretty good, right? All of these things will help drive your content marketing. Understanding how the data is, and at the end of the day, did they complete the goal? Did this blog post, did this article, did this featured content lead them down the path of requesting a quote or placing a phone call or subscribing to your newsletter or whatever it is? If you're not understanding your data, hit us up. I'm great at that. I'd be glad to go through some stuff with you just to help you.
He takes just under 3 hours.
I'll be glad to go through it with you and understand how your site is working, how your content is working, because it's extremely important. Number five, superior strategy and organization. Right, you must have an on-point strategy, and you must be organized. She says a clear-cut content strategy helps you define the goals, track your research, and plan your content.
Yeah.
Right, you must have that strategy so you'll know what you're going to do next instead of just being out developing stuff off the whim and off emotion. Actually strategize about what you're going to write about.
Maybe we should add, don't throw money against the wall and see if it sticks. Don't throw content against the wall and see if it sticks.
And this is from experience.
Yeah.
Like, we've done that, like, just in a rush, and, you know, everybody write articles. And, you know, now we've come back and changed that.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to write articles about this topic. They're going to get posted on this day. It's going to cover this thing.
We're going to promote it this way.
This is how we're going to promote it. These are the multiple ways we're going to promote it. And then we'll rinse and repeat and do that again. He also says a detailed editorial calendar and strategy are signs of an all-star content marketer, which we've developed.
Yeah.
You know, we needed to understand how this content is going to be pushed out. You have to understand what it is you will be producing, how you're going to do it before you start.
Yeah.
That's the key, is understanding that before you start.
Because, like, that can change what you write. I mean,
it can change totally. Like for us, for example, our process is month to month. We'll determine your underperforming keywords, right? We'll do that first. Then after we do that, then we'll develop some supporting, like, page content, then develop a relevant blog post to go with it, schedule some social posts to support it, include it in the newsletter if that's in your package. The point is, every month, it's about the strategy we have in place for marketing your content.
Yep.
Number six.
Six.
Write better than the average marketer. It's going to be kind of tough to do.
Yeah.
But so what I would say is, make the content best for your industry. They went on to say the best content is high value and long form, which is probably right, frankly, which is probably right, because there's a lot more information in there. But it just may not be necessary for you. Right. If you're selling Jordans. Right. Most people who buy them don't need to be sold on them. You know what I'm saying?
And so they want them.
They want them. I don't need 1,000 words about why these are the best Jordans. Because they're not the best. They're equal to the previous ones. You know what I'm saying?
You need about three pictures? Three angles?
Yeah, I need top, bottom,
you
side.
You look at 100, maybe. Or
I look
like
at
10.
Four pictures.
You look at four. That's
top,
it.
Sole, and both sides. That's it.
Yeah.
And then add to cart. That's kind of how that goes. I've seen enough. But the key is, you may not necessarily need long form, you know, Pulitzer Prize content for all your posts, especially if you're in a service provider, like, you know, a roof or electrician or a plumber. You just want some really great content, some quality content relevant to your business. It's more important than having it 1,000 words. Come up with 500-600 words that are original, that are relevant to your business, are relevant to your service area, relevant to the service and the product you offer. That's going to be way better than investing all the time and resources in 1,500 words. Of content. It's just not going to be necessary for you. Unless you're a big brand. You're a huge brand. You're not small, kind of mom and pop. You're a big brand. You got, you know, 10 locations.
Spend that money.
Exactly. And invest in the long form content. Present yourself as the expert in the big brand you are. Number seven. Being a scrappy designer. We're talking about skills that content marketers need to have. You said being a scrappy designer. He says you can quickly push out really great content if you're able to create and edit images that tell a compelling story. Right. Ching.
Yeah.
Check mark. Correct.
X,
applause.
I'm not one.
Bravo. Oh, she's absolutely right. We see so many articles and so much content that could be great if it had images.
Or
even if the images it had were a little bit better. Right? And so you have to be able to do that. Especially if you're a DIY person, you kind of write this content yourself, then you need to get you some images. All great content has great images. Period. If you got an editorial calendar, like we was talking about in the previous point, use that same time to find your images and do that research. Get some time to edit those, or get them edited if you have to. Because what you don't want to do is just take the same old stock photo that everybody has, and the same guy, the guy, you know, on your site, he's an AC guy. On his site, he's a roofer. Somebody else's guy, he's doing customer service.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same guy.
Yeah.
That guy got a lot of jobs. Look, you don't want that guy working for you. I know. You know, you don't want that guy working for you, man. So unless you got a graphic designer like ours, I'm thinking to Javier take stock photos.
That guy becomes a girl.
Yeah, yeah. His shirt turns to a dress. He's not Jamaican anymore. Yeah. Like all of that happened. So unless you had that kind of resource, then I'm gonna invest in some Pixel is a good one you can use, and then do a search. There are plenty of other browser-based. Photo editors,
right,
where you don't have to invest in like a Photoshop or right, graphic design and things like that. Number eight. Tell a compelling story. Telling a compelling story.
Amen.
Yeah, we're talking about content marketing. We all know that stories sell. It says the most successful content marketers are the ones who can elicit emotional responses from readers in ways that further connect them to the brand. Look, people relate to stories. Anytime you can include in images or quotes also that's related to that story, then even better, right? So we already established that you may not need long-form content, but let's say you do have some long-form content. And now you begin telling this story about how you replaced an old water heater.
Right.
With a new tankless water heater for any plumbing clients who are listening right now.
Right.
Then that's a great story to tell. But tell that story from the technician's perspective. What time they got there, where they went to, right? And that's a good way to get that local geotag in that content, identifying where you went to. And then what'd you do? Well, we replaced the old water heater with a new tankless water heater. More keywords, right, in this content. But tell that story. Show pictures of the whole installation process.
Before and after.
All of that, before and after. And show a final picture with a satisfied client, right? That's great images, great long-form content, great highly optimized, phenomenal story that most people who are your target will be able to relate to. Stories work.
Absolutely.
Number nine. Be versatile. This is a pretty cool one. She said, effective content marketers don't put all their eggs in one basket. They rely on more than one form of content to reach their audience. More than one form of content. So, like, right now, we got a live stream going.
Yeah.
We got a transcript will be up next week.
Yep.
The video will be available to watch again later. Yep. Portion of this get included in the newsletter.
Yep.
There's an audio that you can go listen to.
On the podcast.
On the podcast.
Yep.
And then that podcast is on Stitcher, on SoundCloud, on iTunes.
There's
and
so, an algorithm cataclysm image.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a podcast image that goes on Instagram.
We got another image.
There's a video.
A tip image.
There's a tip video.
Tip video and image.
Image. And then there's a sound check, freestyle rap that goes out in video.
And all of that is about one podcast.
Yeah.
That's being versatile. He also says your customers read articles, listen to podcasts, watch video, or scan infographics. We've even made a couple infographics.
Yeah.
The point is be versatile.
Yeah.
Like, don't just write it and then post it and then be done with it. Because half of your people who may not read content that way, you just missed them. Exactly. Last one, number 10. Knowing how to collaborate. Collaborating is cool. Like, that's one of the reasons
that's why this is so late today.
Exactly, because we're working on setting up our Skype feed so we can collaborate and get some interviews and some things like that. But they go on to say, when you partner with someone, especially an influencer within your industry, you're greatly expanding your reach into a much larger audience.
Yeah.
Right. Collaborations work when relevant. Right. We come through a business class. It's kind of like a host beneficiary, if you will, but content wise.
Yeah.
Right. And so when both companies are relevant. So let's say you got an AC guy and a window guy.
Right.
Right. What makes them relevant? Well, if they came together and wrote an article about energy efficiency.
Right.
Right. Now they both can benefit off of each other's audience and share the same content. Or maybe you got an electrician and a plumber. Right, but they come together and compose an article about remodeling
the tankless water heater. Right?
Or exactly, then this content is relevant for both parties, and they can leverage each other's fan base and each other's client base without competing with each other.
Right,
right. So take advantage of collaborations, and I think that was it. Yeah, so shout out to Aaron Aguas, man, the good folks at Search Engine Journal. This was the 10 skills effective content marketers must master. For epic results. I can dig it. And I'm confident in saying that we possess all 10 of these skills.
Yep. Absolutely. I was going to check. We do that. Mm-hmm. We got that. Do we have any what news?
No what news.
No what news. All right. So if you like this podcast, we're going to ask you to do one thing three times. And that is tell people about this podcast three times. So tell three people about this podcast. Go ahead and
Do it. Tweet it. If you're watching right now, just hit the share button.
Yep.
If you're listening right now, tweet it out. Hey, I'm listening to this hashtag SEO podcast.
Connect with us.
Yeah, connect with us.
Send an email.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. All right. If you're looking to grow your business with the largest, simplest marketing tool on the planet,
the internet,
call EWeb Results for increased revenue in your business. Our phone number is 713-592-6724. If you have a referral that somebody's interested in any aspect of internet marketing, let's make this clear. We do SEO, we do PPC, we do social media marketing, we do website design.
Yeah. We do email marketing.
Yes, drip campaigns, you name it, internet marketing related, we do it. If somebody you know needs that service, send them to us. They pay us, we pay you. We have a nice referral program in place. And finally, I am doing networking. So a networking organization here in Houston, Up Social Network. So
if you're
in
Houston, Social Network,
go to Up Social Network and make sure you come to one of our next events.
If you're not in Houston, go check it out, upsocialnetwork.com, just to get an idea of what's going on, what's happening, how it's working. If you're in Houston, take advantage.
Come by.
I'm trying to tell you now, take advantage. Yeah. You visit the site also so you can figure out which one is happening in an area near you, because right. It probably is.
Yep.
And take advantage.
Excellent. Please remember, this was filmed live at 5999 West 34th Street, Suite 106. The transcript and video and audio of the podcast can be found at our website, ewebresults.com. We are the number one internet marketing podcast on iTunes for like 5 years. That is because of you. Thank you. Thank you all. Thank everyone. Thank you guys. We really appreciate it.
Guys.
Until the next podcast, my name is Chris Burrows.
I'm Charles Lewis.
Bye-bye for now.
Slightly raised up eyebrow, highbrow. Tamely, gamely, headed my way. Cool as mountain snow, girl, glow, girl. Pining, shining, needing some play. Where have you been all my life? Something pure yet so refined. I'm gonna find my gold mine. I think she's gonna set me free. In my daydream, she's my fantasy. If I find her, I'll die happily.
All right, balance check. 336.
SEO podcast 336. Put us in the mix, talking about Chuck and Chris. Today we're talking about what content, because anything else, man, is just nonsense. Yeah, SEO podcast 336. Let's go.
Boom.